Chapter 2, The Acts of Man.
But the flood was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. That 77 flood.
Was the town hit very hard?
Yes. Yes, it was. And in the building next to this church, it was, I would say, 5 feet deep. The muddy, horrible water, 5 feet deep in there. People lost their lives. The floods were horrible. That's all I'm saying about this talk.
We like living country being free.
But when the flood started in 77, by 77 they had strip mined everything up in here, up in Main Cranks Creek, because that's where the big coal seams was, that's where the good coal was at. But they'd also put it mostly all up down into the rivers too. And what it does, this whole thing will fill up with water, and all you got is like a lake. And from time to time, it busts. And you get all these trees and rocks and mud and car bodies, frigidary bodies, bulldozer parts. Everything's down into the creek bed. And the river don't have nowhere to go but out. There was 37 homes damaged up there. One was completely washed away. And that was my cousin's house. And Walt Reimer's house, it was tore all to pieces because it was sitting on the edge of the riverbank and that log jam caught it. But it tore his house all to pieces. You know, in early morning hours, 2:30, 3 o'clock. You think I ought to stay up all night, you know, do you think? Because they're so worried about it. But Nate was in my house. Yes.
Could you tell that story, how the survival center came to be? What, you know, what was the condition of the people after the floods?
Well, it was just complete disaster is all you could say about it. Nobody knew what to do. They didn't know how to go about doing nothing. They'd never been in that situation before. We had Red Cross that would give them blankets and clothing, but we'd never heard of reclamation or anything in that line of work. And Becky got it started. She got out and started going to meetings, and the first thing they developed here was a flood control project.
Well, I went to Harlan County looking for the class struggle, and the class struggle is still going on. Maybe not in terms of the unions, but for instance, right now, in terms of the environment. Annie Napier's family, all her kinfolks, all the people up in Cranks Creek, where I do most of my work, they got together first on the issue of strip mining, flooding. And now they're getting together again, and they're getting organized again on the issue of cutting the trees and timber. So this is one of the struggles that poor people keep waging against big corporations.
And it's gonna wash us way down here. They know that already.
Well, they don't care about that. They ain't got no care for the people.
He's leased it from the cook granddaughter.
Yeah. Well, the way they're doing it with the bulldozers and stuff, it's almost as bad as strip mining.
It's worse. They're making a road every 50 foot around Side Hill then.
back then, it's much worse than strip mine.
With no laws against it, neither. They don't have to plant trees or nothing back. It's a sign.
Well, there ain't nothing left.
That's what I say.
Ain't nothing left.
They ain't putting nothing back neither. They're not planting no trees.
I remember the first time we talked about it, you told me that you and some others had begun to inform the people of their rights, and these people didn't know they had rights.
They didn't know they had any rights. It was just like, I'm here and that's it. I don't have no rights to say nothing about a coal company.
That's something very tough to say. When you're talking about American citizens who are supposed to have more rights than anybody else in the world, which isn't true, but so they're taught they have rights, and then when it comes to their own lives.
Right. Well, see, it goes back to you grow up with it. You're taught that you can't fight a coal company and win. Nobody's ever fought a coal company and won. You're wasting your time. They're very evil people, you know. They do things to the families. They do things to the young'uns. It goes back to when there's organizing a union, you know. If you didn't go with the union, or if you went with the union, you were subject to get killed. But laws has changed since then. You do have rights. Everybody has rights.
Except a lot of people don't know.
They don't know they have rights. Even if you're renting a house and it gets damaged by strip mine and flood, they're still responsible for what you've lost. The strip miners is responsible for what you've lost.
Did they pay for any of the damage?
Mm-hmm. They paid 17 families.
How'd you get them to pay?
By going to court.
Mm-hmm. Did you get support from outside groups?
Well, we got a lot of support from the Highlander Center, was mm-hmm. where we got a lot of information. And Lexington. We attended meetings everywhere. And anywhere we could, learn anything about it. And Hindman, we went to this big meeting in Hindman. That was where this man from the State Department, me and Bobby was there, and we told him what happened here. And this man got up in back of the building and he said, "Don't you think that was an act of God?" And I said, "The rain was an act of God, but God didn't set that bulldozer on the side of that mountain and tear it all to hell either." But that man left. He didn't want to wait and talk to me when the meeting was over. But, that's my feelings on it.
It's true.
It's true. But after I thought about what I said, I thought, God Almighty, I said that in front of 3,000 people. And I think it was probably televised, but I didn't care because it was the truth.
The last that I got, it was 3,000 acres they had that they was pulling logs up in there.
We're in trouble.
Don't be nobody left.
Don't be nothing left.
But the trees and tree limbs.
I don't know if that was me or Chester told you about that, but there was a tree down here at the foot of the holler.
Uh-huh.
And there was a man raised a family of 7 children in a tree stump. You can't imagine the stump being that big, you know. But he had no...